do two distinct things this morning. One of the major problems faced by this Jewish reform movement that we call Christianity was this. Since they believed that God had raised Jesus from the dead, they knew, as Jews, that the resurrection of the dead meant the end of time. That God was going to ring down the curtain on the human enterprise and restore justice. The kingdom was going to come. And then it didn't happen. God did not send Jesus back to judge the world. And the Thessalonian correspondence was probably written at least 30 years after Jesus was dead and risen, and people were beginning to get really fretful. And so, apparently, a group of people started running around saying, "I'm Jesus, back from the dead." And the consequence of that was that if that was the case, then the way things were at that moment is the way they're supposed to be. That's the eternal state of things, and so we're all okay. So we just stay doing what we're doing and no changes, and everybody's happy. Which, of course, creates enormous problems, because that's hardly the kingdom of God, the way the world is working right now. So this is important to keep in mind, but something even more important is at stake here. They thought in the year 60s that God was going to finish the human enterprise. And so everything that happened subsequently is in a very real sense fortuitous. The development of the structures of the church, for example. There's nothing inevitable about that. They didn't have to worry about the See of Peter. They didn't have to worry about a whole bunch of liturgical rules. They didn't have to worry about a whole bunch of stuff, because it was going to happen then. And so this casts a really important light on all subsequent developments. And this is what I'm trying to get at. And all this stuff did not have to be the way it was. If this movement went to China first, or to India first, or to Africa first, as it could have, at least Africa, as part of the Roman Empire, you can be quite certain that the church we know would look very different. I bring this up because, as I said last week, we Catholics were brought up to think that the way things were is the way things ought to be and always have been. Coronia saecula saeculorum, through all the ages. No, no. So it means we need to tread lightly and hold a very loose rein on the status quo. It was not always thus, therefore it need not always be thus. And so all sorts of interesting possibilities arise as far as, for instance, the clerical status, because that certainly developed profoundly under the influence of Imperial Rome. Okay, so that's food for thought, to speculate. The Zacchaeus passage could have been part of the Gospel of John, because the dynamic of this scene is very Johannine. By that I mean this. You'll notice in this little account, as Luke puts it out, Jesus doesn't say anything about Zacchaeus being a sinner and greedy and a money hog and a quisling with the Roman Empire, as he would have had to have been as a tax collector. It was simply Jesus' presence, and what we assume Zacchaeus knew about Jesus, that simply in his presence he was transformed. You notice Jesus doesn't say anything about Zacchaeus being a crook. Jesus doesn't make any accusation. Rather, the presence of Jesus opened up a whole new space. A whole new way of Zacchaeus looking at himself, looking at his place in the world, looking at the way he's supposed to behave there. And this is really important too, I think, because we live in a world and a church so constrained by external forces, where we seem to be subject to high kinds of laws and alien presences in our lives. And it's very hard to climb out from under that. Because often enough, those external forces are not liberating. They don't give us the sense that we can be more free, more profoundly human than we are. So we have to keep our eyes on the prize. And the prize, of course, is Jesus. That goofy thing that some of the Pentecostals use is not entirely useless. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus look at things? I confess I have a t-shirt with that, and it embarrasses me, so I don't wear it. But there's something to that. You know? In other words, to cut through all these accretions which obscure the presence of this man who ate with sinners, who was one with everybody, who was the universal brother.